Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan, engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm host Dave Gagan, and I'd like to welcome you to today's show titled Discovering Your Past Life. Note that all the answers to today's questions on the chat board will be posted on next week's chat board and will also be available on my website. One of the most intriguing aspects of spirituality is the thought that we may have had past lives. Of course, that immediately leads to wanting to know about those lives. Our guest today has created a methodology to help us learn about our previous lives and at the same time understand our karmic energies and life purpose, which we are dealing with. We'll be talking to Dr. John Amoroso, who is a transpersonal psychologist. He has been a practicing therapist using past life regression techniques for over 25 years, was on the faculty at Atlantic University, where he was instrumental in establishing the integrated imagery curriculum, and is the author of Awakening Past Lives. He still has an ongoing counseling practice and does workshops and gives courses. We had Dr. Amoroso on the show last fall, and as I'm really pleased to have him back, as I promised when John was on the show before, that today he will tell us how we can look at our past lives. Dr. John Amoroso, it's great to have you back, John. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, David. It's good to be back.
Hey, I want to talk about three things today and three general areas. Our life's purpose, karma, and past lives, and how to help the listeners find what their purpose, karma, and past lives are all about. You wrote a really interesting book, which I read, Awakening Past Lives, where you go through and you give us some opportunity to do various methodologies to try to figure some of this out, and we'll go through a little bit about that. But how long have people been doing past life regressions? Is this something new that's just come up?
No, actually, not. David, it goes back over 100 years to the first publication, which was back in 1911 by Albert de Rochat, and he did a documented series of regressions that he had been doing with people, and from that point on. A Swedish psychologist then started to publish information, and Dr. Alexander Cannon in England during the first half of the 1900s. So it's interesting that the whole technique of using hypnosis to regress people to past lives has grown up right beside basically modern psychology. So it's been around for a while.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we talk about past lives, and when you have a past life, if assume that we have past lives, and I think most people that look into this are pretty convinced that that's the case. If we have multiple lives, we must have a purpose. There must be a reason behind all of this. It's not going to just happen. Happen again and again with no purpose. How can we better understand what our life's purpose is?
Well, that's an important question. And that was the emphasis and the primary purpose of my book, Awakening Past Lives. Most books you see and documentaries on past life regression go back to traumatic episodes and past lives and how that karmic pattern carried forward into this life. Well, my focus has been in my practice and in the writing and in the trainings I've done for years in integrated imagery is about really focusing on the positive experiences and the positive karmic patterns, if you will, or positive complexes, and really exploring how they end up circulating in this life around a sense of soul purpose. And then, of course, we bring in these negative karmic complexes that tend to get in the way, the psychological disorders or dysfunctions or patterns. So it's safe to say that these positive complexes are all integrated into one's unique sense of soul purpose.
So you're saying if we went back and we looked at the key things that happened in our life over, of course, the older you are, the more key things you've had. But if you, yeah. So if we go back and we look at the positive and the negative things that major things that we dealt with in our life, we would see a pattern maybe of recurring experiences.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, in my book, most of the book or the exercises start with biographical timeline. Go back and explore all the positive experiences that you've had when you've been recognized or when you felt good about some behavior that you did or some talent that you had. And, put them into a timeline, and you can start to see a sense of a pattern. For example, even in my life, and I, in study groups that I've done for years, where we explore past lives and, the issue of soul purpose, I use a friend of mine's book, Mark Thurston, who was with the ARE and is now teaching privately. He'll be publishing a new book by the end of this year, a revision of his book, Exploring Your Soul Purpose. But in that book, he talks about, defining the ideals that make up your life. An ideal of being creative or being independent or being helpful or being spiritually grounded. And those ideals tend to circulate around a sense of soul purpose, which has to do with not only a vocation or an avocation, but just simply a way of being in the world. And it's those negative complexes that come in that I explore, have the readers explore in the biographical timeline that tend to get in the way. Sense of inadequacy or self-confidence or, some other negative behavioral pattern.
Now, John, are those negative complexes different than the karma we're trying to work off? Are those just kind of inadequacies as opposed to karma that we're trying to do, or are they all fall in the same category?
Well, that's a good question, David. Actually, they are karmic, what I would call karmic complexes. When we go back to a past life, Ben is a good example in my book. He had a problem in relationships. He was a very intelligent individual and had a problem in relationships with feeling abandoned. And he tended to pick women that would either cheat on him or break up with him. One way or another. So there's a real sense of inadequacy or negative complex around abandonment. Well, when we did the regression work, he went back to a life as a Bedouin elder who was left to die on the desert, because that's basically what they did, with elders that were terminal. And that experience, he was feeling left behind to die and abandoned. So that was a negative complex or a karmic pattern that he drew into this life, and it tended to play out continuously. That negative complex ended up interfering with his sense of soul purpose in this life. because
okay, so he came down here with a purpose to do something, whatever it was.
Right.
And he had in that life, he had a sole purpose, and I guess that being left didn't bother that life because it happened at the very end, but it stayed with him. So now he's in this life. He came in with a different soul purpose, but that was at least one of the negative complexes that interfered with his trying to accomplish what he came down here to accomplish.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Now,
and what's interesting is when we did regression work around his positive complexes and his sense of soul purpose, how it played into this life, he went to other lives where he had, a strong intellectual capacity, and he was a teacher and so forth. So there were different lives that he drew on, he brought into this life around his sense of soul purpose and his positive complexes, but that one life as a Bedouin elder was the interfering factor.
But that one life was one of the, was that part of his soul purpose to try to learn how to deal with that one difficult life?
Well, that's a really important question. And probably I would have to say that's a good way to look at it, because if we think about it in the whole field of transpersonal psychology, we talk about, the purpose in the reincarnation process is to continue to evolve to higher levels of consciousness. So in order to do that, these karmic patterns, positive and negative, have to be dealt with. We need to accentuate the positive and de-energize the negative. So that abandonment complex that Ben came in with, we could say, is a part of his sole purpose this time to de-energize that sense of abandonment and activate those positive characteristics that he brought in.
Yeah. You know, when people talk about karma, they just generally, they look at it as a payback for our sins, if you will. And I believe you refer to this in your book as retributive, but you also talk about karma that can be attenuative. What are the differences?
Right.
Continuative. Do you see karma as a punishment or more of an educational process, or can it be both?
Well, I would tend to, and with my clients and students, I've always framed it as a positive experience or opportunity to de-energize those negative behavioral patterns that we lived through in the past, rather than think of it as punishment. So that's now in retributive karma versus continuative karma. In retributive, we have, in a past life, we have done something to hurt others or ourselves, and the retribution is we bring that pattern in to this life to reframe it and resolve that that wrong that we had in a past life.
So
with continuative karma, it's a matter of bringing in patterns like positive karmic patterns that we continue in this life. The life of, an individual in this life, or the pattern of an individual in this life who's an artist, who goes back to the Renaissance, where he was an artist and a teacher and accomplished and, skilled as a teacher as well as a painter. Well, that individual brought that positive complex into this life and is growing into that. So exactly how karma works is still speculative, but it's best to think of it as basically de-energizing any negative patterns and activating any positive patterns from the past.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that Edgar Cayce, who is probably the premier psychic of our times recent times, says we choose the karmic patterns which we want to work on for each life. Now, does this mean that we have generated karma from previous lives, which we purposely do not deal with in this life?
It's safe to say that there are, and you know, I've had clients who have gone back to past lives where they're dealing with traumatic episodes or even positive experiences that don't seem to be a part of this life. And it's important to accept the idea that we, in the before life state, before we come into this physical plane, we decide what karmic patterns we're going to bring in to resolve and to activate. So that means
that there may be some that we need to deal with, but we're just not going to do it in this particular life.
Exactly.
And why would that be the case? Because we have so much that some of them would bury us. Maybe if we had to deal with some of the really difficult ones, we aren't mature enough in some of the other areas of our evolution that they might lead us astray.
That's a good way to look at it. We can safely say that we all have a whole series of positive aspects or karmic patterns, as well as, you know, an array of negative. And in this given life, we just choose to work on one or two. And some people come in and seem to have very little negative energy that they have to deal with. But most of us, it's safe to say, have stuff to work out, if you will.
Yeah, right.
That's why.
Now, if you didn't have, I mean, if you had one of these really successful lives and you brought in some karmic stuff that you need to work on, you worked on it and you finally came to grips with it. And there's some other stuff that you didn't think you'd do that well, say. Would you speculate that some of those other karmic patterns that you hadn't planned on working on could actually enter your life at a later stage?
Well, that's a good point. That's another good point. I've seen that happen where people early on, and we've done regressions around that, have dealt with a specific pattern and, you know, worked hard to resolve it and de-energize it. And then something completely different has come up, and the regression work has taken them back to other lives.
That's
probably a decision we make in the before life state. And that's why I have called it integrated imagery.
Yeah, go over and explain that again. I know you did the last time, but we probably have different listeners or some different. So why don't you explain your integrated imagery again?
Well, when I started this work some 30 years ago, I worked with a psychologist, Roger Wolver, and he and I developed a training program for professionals. And this was when Shirley MacLaine first came out with her book on reincarnation, and Brian Weiss was just starting up.
Right.
And the psychologist Morris Netherton was around. In fact, I did regression work. He did regression work with me. But this is some 30 years ago. And most of the approaches out there had to do with exploring negative karmic patterns or negative traumatic experiences and resolving them. Well, Roger and I started to work on exploring the positive patterns as well and watched how they integrated and played into each other. And then I went off my own and defined integrated imagery as something a little different, because at the time it wasn't about just going to a past life and explored how it related to behavioral patterns in this life. I focused on past lives and then the between life state when we're in a soul level, of consciousness, and up to, out of the work of Edgar Cayce, up to the before life where we make the decision in this life. And I even started to explore the perinatal period between conception and birth. And not many psychologists even accepted that we had the neurological capacity to remember time in the utero.
Right.
So I called it integrated imagery because it was integrating biographical experiences with the perinatal, the before life, the past lives, and the between life. So this is some 30 years ago, and it's important in the regression work to use that approach because it really does integrate and provide a unique sense of understanding and opportunity to activate those positive and de-energize the negative patterns.
The between lives are obviously fascinating for most all of us.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody a show or two ago, and they were talking about being able to do out-of-body experiences and the various things that would go on in between lives. And they said that there were courses that you took, and some of them you could. And if you were having a particular problem, for example, forgiving people, then you would, they had these special courses that the souls that were involved in that would take those courses, and they'd try to show, I guess, the various aspects of forgiveness to try to help the soul in between lives learn
right.
how to do this better. Have you run across anything like that?
Yeah, very much so. Michael Newton has done a lot of work. A psychologist has several books out as well.
Yep.
And his focus is on the between life.
Right.
And that's really what we do in the between life. We'll go, in integrated imagery, we'll go through one or several lives and the death experience and what's happening at the death experience, because that's really where the energy gets imprinted, the positive and negative energy or the karmic patterns. And then we move on to, you know, the soul level, where the regression allows you to look down on that body and on that life and start to get a connection and see the connection between that life and this life. And there's an opportunity in that between life to work out any patterns. I mean, you know, for example, you know, being holding on to a grudge, for example, not being able to forgive someone. There's a lot of exercises in the between life that we can do by basically doing regressions and so forth to basically teach on a soul level the importance and the significance of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And go in the resolution of that. So, you know, it's the resolution, and in my technique, we, you know, during a past life regression where there's trauma, we come through the experience, go into the death experience, and then re-script, have the client go back into that life and re-script that life. So if I committed some atrocious crime, it was about going back in and doing a positive thing or asking for forgiveness, basically re-scripting the trauma. With the Bedouin elder, for example, of Ben's past life, I had him go back in and actually get up and run after his tribal members and rejoin the group. In another rescripting, I had him just resolve to himself that he was moving on to a spirit sense and he needed to let go and not feel abandoned and be grateful that the tribal members were moving on and letting him go to a better time or a better space. So there's a lot that can be done. But to your original point, yes, a lot can be done in the between life.
Yeah. You know, Casey also said, and I found this was fascinating, that there is such a thing as a law of grace, which says that all karma can be released if we recognize our true nature. Do you have any insight into that? I mean, that's a fascinating concept to me.
Well, what's interesting is Edgar Casey, who was a Christian and never really studied Buddhism, is saying the same thing the Buddha said. You know, we can receive or experience enlightenment just by turning our head in a completely different direction and leaving these experiences behind. And basically, the law of grace says the same thing. So it's helpful to...
What do you mean turning our head? You mean changing our attitudes?
Changing our attitude, right.
Okay.
Now, not many people in 2,000 years have done that. certainly Buddha, you know, in his experience in the meditation, managed to do that and experience enlightenment. But, you know, Casey embellishes that thought through the law of grace, where it's simply a matter of moving on and releasing ourselves from these negative karmic patterns and allowing ourselves to realize the significance of this life and how we can change and move ahead.
And obviously we need to change to take advantage of this law of grace, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of your methodology for people to do some of these things. For example, to find out of our soul purpose. Now, we've talked a little bit about that, but I'd like you to talk a little bit about anything we might not have covered. You know, you talked about looking back at our past life and such like that, and seeing what some of the patterns are. Is that the same type of thing that we do for the karma too, if we wanted to try to see what kind of karma maybe we had to deal with? How does your methodology work on that?
Well, usually people come in the book, that's why I spend a lot of time in these exercises, having the reader go through their biographical timeline and start to clarify psychologically the behavioral patterns that get in the way, that are troublesome. You know, if they tend to be over-accommodating or have a sense of insecurity, they can react in different ways. So it's very much a psychological perspective on this life. Then what, and that's good homework for clients that come in to do a series of regressions.
And you explain all of this in your book in pretty good detail in Awakening Past Lives. I just want the listeners to know that if they're looking for all the detail, you know, go to your book and it's there.
Yes.
But yeah. So go ahead, continue.
Well, then we'll focus on some specific pattern. With Ben, you know, he came into a session. And he said, you know, here it goes again. I'm engaged to this woman, and she just told me she wasn't sure that she was in love with me last weekend. Well, okay, what's happening, and what has happened? And here it turns out that Ben, the week prior, basically what he said was to his girlfriend, but he wasn't sure if he loved her, or he wasn't, you know, he was resistant to moving ahead and planning the marriage.
So he kind of planted the seed and started this thing.
Right. And he didn't even realize that. So he came in with that energy around his girlfriend wanting to break off the engagement. And I've described this in the book too. So I used that energy and regressed them back to a life that had to do with that. That's actually when he went to the Bedouin elder life. And then, you know, we did a number of other past lives. Usually we'll do two or more past lives in one session around a specific behavioral pattern or problem or even feeling. People come in and they're anxious and they can't explain why they're anxious. Well, we use that affect bridge, that feeling bridge, to go back to a past life that would help explain why they're experiencing anxiety at this point.
Okay. But what if people couldn't come to you and they read your book and you give them exercises? What are the type of exercises that you explain in the book? What's the process? I know you can't do the whole exercises on a short radio show, but explain the process that you go through in the book. And you got a CD in there and how all that works together. How is that? You know, for say somebody wanted to find their past lives, discover a past life.
The first step, as I've said, is go through the biographical timeline to help clarify the negative karmic patterns, complexes, as well as the positive. What is the psychological process in this life?
Okay, so that and the purpose of that is to kind of get a reference for what you're searching for in your past lives. Am I correct on that?
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then I have a whole section on the formation and function of complexes. Now, this is an outgrowth of Carl Jung's work. Carl Jung first defined the term complexes, but he only focused on negative complexes, psychological behavioral patterns. And in the work that I've done, in the regression work, I developed a model kind of bouncing off the shoulders of Carl Jung, where we focus on not only negative behavioral patterns, complexes, but also positive.
Okay. And a complex is what? A set of thoughts and feelings, emotions, that type of thing?
Well, yes. I refer to at the core of the complexes are feelings, sensitivities, insights, certainly around feelings, that's the affect, and ways of thinking, body sensations, and so forth. So when a complex gets activated, those feelings and sensitivities and so forth come to the surface. They're different for each of us. So that's an indication I'm feeling bad or I'm feeling abandoned or somebody said this. And so a whole psychological process goes on and positive and negative complex start to interfere with each other. Ben was a very smart individual, very bright. And when he faced a sense of abandonment, he would over-intellectualize it. He would take his positive complex to try to squelch the negative, which never really worked. So complexes interact with each other, and that's part of the process I walk the reader through in the book, where they start with a biographical timeline and then start to get a sense of the positive and negative behavioral patterns that play in, that are active in their lives. And it's just the last several chapters where we get into first exploring and using the CD and the regression. There's actually four regression experiences on the CD. Track one is a progressive relaxation just to help you to explore your biographical timeline. But track two gets into positive complexes. Track three gets into negative complexes and even the perinatal experience. So we go back to the perinatal time, in utero in this life. And finally, the last track is really about going back and really exploring in more detail the past lives that relate to our sense of soul purpose in this life. So the regression tracks really cover all the bases, if you will.
Now you're not the person listening to this tapes. They're not hypnotized at this stage of the game.
Well, there's a funny thing about hypnosis. If they relax and listen to the progressive relaxation, yes, they are hypnotized.
Okay.
Now, people have this strange feeling about hypnosis where, oh my God, I'm going to lose control and I'm not going to. That's never true in hypnosis. In hypnosis, you're never going to do anything that is going to be damaging or that you don't want to do. Now, there's some people who, when they guide people, if they're not trained well, they can be troublesome. But the tracks on the tape are simple exercises to allow people to relax and focus on the moment and just allow the insights and the memories to come to the surface. So it's not meant to be dangerous, and people can just open their eyes, get up, and walk around.
So when you focus on something, what do you focus on? Do you focus, say you've gone through and you've said, okay, this looks like a pattern to me, a complex or either positive or negative. So now you're going through the tape and looking for a past life. Are you focusing your thoughts on what?
Well, on the CD, because I'm not there to guide the individual, it's simply, usually it's about going to imagine yourself going to a safe place and walking through that place and finding a bridge and then walk over the bridge back into a past life or a time that's relevant and important for you to explore now. So that's the basic approach in all of the tracks on the CD.
Okay, so you're not focusing on that particular complex. You're focusing, although you have that in mind, you're focusing on a time or place or an event, and you that might be applicable to that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, on the CD, the second track is about a positive complex, so the suggestion is go over the bridge and go to a life that will allow you to explore the positive karmic pattern you bring into this life.
Oh, okay.
So it is more specific. Now, when I have a client in my office, I not only use that bridge, but I use the affect bridge, the feeling bridge, images that they come in with, these feelings, images, scripts, and sensations, scripts that they come in with. When your girlfriend gets angry, what goes through your mind? What goes through my mind is she's gonna break up with me, or they're gonna abandon me, or so that's a script. So we can in a session in my office, we can use feelings, images, scripts, and sensations, even bodily sensations, to actually induce the regression.
Okay. Now,
I could do that on the CD, but.
Okay. Now on the CD, can you, when you go back and you find a period of time when you were doing this, you're in another life. Can you look at your other life? Can you say, well, this is what I was. I was a soldier, or I was a doctor, or I was a farmer, or whatever. Can you search around in that past life to understand other aspects of it?
Oh yeah, David. Certainly in my office we do that, but even on on the CD. It's about stepping into that life. Watch, look what you're wearing, where you are, what's going around you, on around you, and then move on to the next experience. What's happening? So it's about really getting the client to take on that personality, and see what's going on around you. It's about really involving them into that life, them into that life, so they really experience what's going on.
I've heard of opportunity or of experiences where people have done that, and they've actually been able to speak a foreign language.
Yeah,
That they didn't know and had no experience with in this life.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. In fact, in the beginning, some 30 years ago, I did a whole series of, especially during my doctoral dissertation, I was doing a series of regressions where I'd have them specifically identify certain behaviors or personalities, names, places, and then went back and actually went through historical documents, and in many, many cases, validated that, they came up with insights or names and places that they had that weren't even publicized, that they had no way of knowing. In fact, a professor at University of Virginia, Ian Stevenson, spent his career exploring children's past lives and, getting them to remember past life experiences and then taking them back to those locations. So, yeah, that can be a very powerful, interesting process to go through.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. John, what are you doing these days? Can people, you have a website or some way for people to contact you if they wanted to have a session with you?
Yeah, I do. I'm at JZ. Amoroso, AMOROSO.com is my website. I'm spending part of my time exploring another aspect of my soul purpose, some past lives, and getting back into painting. But I'm still doing sessions. I'm not teaching at Atlantic anymore, but I'll do sessions and workshops and lectures and so forth. But I'm still seeing clients in my office here.
Well, John, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was great and enlightening.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure, David. Always, as always with you. You're doing important work, and I trust you have a very impressive following now.
I hope so. Thanks, John. John Amoroso, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, David.
Obtaining wisdom is a long process, as no one can bestow it on us. The more we talk and hear each other's ideas, the more we'll be able to mature our own views. Questions and answers from today's chat room and from other shows will be posted on my website at davidgagan.com. You can ask additional questions directly by going to the contact section on my website, and I'll publish those answers as well. Also, I cover all these subjects and many more in my book, The Endless Journey. I look forward to sharing our thoughts every Friday morning at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time here on W4CY.com. You can also find all the old episodes of the Common Sense Spirituality Show on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it turns out to be an amazingly good news story. We all have a great destiny ahead of us. Let me leave you with one last thought. You are a unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly realize. Enjoy your life. You've earned it.